Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come once again to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. This is a venue that just reminds you that you're not alone in this walk with the Lord. In this world, the enemy wants us to believe that nobody understands and nobody would ever experience that sort of thing and that you're unique and there is no help for you. Those are all lies from the enemy. And we're just here to, once again, bring encouragement, praise to God, and point you in the direction of Jesus even more and trusting in Him. Today we have a topic that we often think about. We go there. Sometimes when we doubt or when we have challenges or storms that are taking place in our lives, and that's in trusting in the Word of God. Is it something I should rely on? Is it truly, truly trustworthy? And in the studio with me today to be able to give us all the answers to this and to walk away feeling truly filled up is Duke. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
All right. I'm glad you brought all the answers with you.
I did.
Because I'm sure we'll get some call-ins also at the same time.
You bet.
We'll go from there. But anyway, good to have you here, man.
Thank you.
Now, this is a topic that you wanted to throw out there because this is something that there's not too many men that don't think about this sort of thing.
Well, really, and frequently, you and I will go to the Bible as our authority. And I remember a day when I didn't do that.
Yes.
I also remember the day that I didn't really understand the Bible. And I'll bet there's some guys out there listening that they sometimes when they read it, it seems confusing. But yet, if I would go to those that whom I would seek for counsel, they would always refer back to the Scriptures.
Yes.
And then, of course, you hear the arguments about translations and all that, and, you know, and it really kind of boiled down to, Raoul, how much faith do I put in God's Word?
Mm-hmm.
And when it appears to contradict, do I still have faith that it'll be revealed to me that it's not contradictory, you know?
Yep.
It's trusting it and trying also not to take some verse out of context. I can remember opening the Bible and just put my finger down on the page and whatever it said was, okay, that's what's going to happen or that's today or something like that.
Yeah, like it's some sort of
magic book or something.
Yes.
And of course, that doesn't really work, but those are the things that we find. And then, I also look at the Bible myself and say, okay, most published, most read, any publication in all time. But yet, it also, people declare it's the most difficult to understand. That is some. So, it came around to me, brother, as I put so much faith in God's Word in the Bible that and I've challenged it myself. It's somewhere we go all the time to make sure that we're, I guess, we're on track.
Yep. Yep.
Seeking.
You know, it's there's something about the simple fact of getting to know God, going into His Word is one of the ways of being able to do that. To get to know the true character of who God is, we have to know something about Him. And the Bible, there are 66 books that comprise the Bible itself, okay? And the number of authors are like 40-something or something.
Yep, 40 different authors, they estimate.
And But the fact is that these are all done at different times in the millennial. And so we end up what was said 2,000 years ago was a prophecy, ends up becoming true, okay, when they talked about that the Messiah will be coming in. And then, of course, dying and then resurrecting and all of these things, you know, that end up coming true. There's nothing there. Historically, a lot of historians go use the Bible when it's in that era, in that area, I should say, that they actually look at the Bible to find out what was going on at that time.
Yeah, I read that recently, that they would use the biblical record as an authority
yes.
to help line up what they were discovering. That doesn't seem like the worldview, does it?
Well, it's, you know, it is for many, and for those who end up using it that way, then it ends up they find out that okay, there's some accuracy here, and yet there are those who don't know whether it really applies to them at certain times, and I believe that's part of the challenges as a follower of Jesus Christ. When we accept him as Lord Savior, that when we use his word as the Bible is what we stand on, and with prayer and in fellowship, relationship with other like-minded men, okay, we end up getting to a place of being able to see the character of who God is ourselves, okay? Maybe not exactly the way that the other brother sees it or someone else, but we're all on this in a process, okay?
Yeah, and you touched on something real powerful there. There are so many times when I go to Scripture, it's for a purpose other than my own, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm looking for to put my finger on the page that day to have a happy day. It's more looking for education because I'm involved in having to educate others. But I will tell you that that it's also where that personal relationship versus
right.
a historical God-breathed word that you can count on, I
yes.
do go to it personally, too. I mean, I count on it.
Yes.
I have to.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, it's truly about knowing how God is faithful, okay, from his word that has been shared through prophets, through the authors that actually ended up receiving what God wanted them to write about so that others will come to know him, okay? You know, one of the scriptures, or I should say the books in the Bible is Lamentations. Lamentations in chapter 3, verse 20. Let's see, I'm just going to read it in verse 22 and 23. It says, now the author of Lamentations was Jeremiah, okay? And Jeremiah has also, there's more writings from him also in
the Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah. Yep.
Okay. But in verse, chapter 3, verse 22, he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Okay? So the simple fact is that God is faithful. I mean, that's one of the promises that come to let us know that, okay, this is one that we can trust. Okay? Now, as we get into his word, we come to realize and from the beginning of time of creation of man and the things that have taken place, there are many experiences and many things that happen that you sit there and go, oh my goodness, how could God allow something like this to take place? Well, the more you get into his word and you come to understand, you know, there's something about that takes place. You know, you've heard it often where it talks about in the New Testament where, you know, we feel like we chose God. We found him.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
discovered, yeah.
He chose us. He gave us ears to hear so that we would understand.
Yes.
And there are those that are hardened hearts that he knew that they would be hardened and they would not end up ever understanding what's taking place. A lot of that is even at us for maybe a period of time. The Pharisees is one, okay? They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah. And those things that he talked about, like, wait, this is blasphemy. You're not God's son. God has not sent his son. And anyway, da-da-da-da-da, et cetera, et cetera. But you come to realize and see the things that have taken place. Some of them lost their lives, never did believe. They had hardened hearts. But I know that there were some that ended up coming through, okay? Who is the Jesus was on the roof, and he said to me, you know, you have to be born again. Who was he talking to?
Was it the rich man Zacharias? He was up in a tree.
I just went blank.
You have to go be reborn again. Nehemiah. Was asking about being reborn again. How do I go back into my mother's womb?
Now, he was a leader. He was a part of the Jewish community as a leader and stuff, but yet he believed. Okay?
Yeah. Yes.
And especially after this conversation that he had with Jesus. All right? Now, try to simplify things a little bit. This could be really complicated, but the fact is that God is faithful. And if we look at it in our own lives, we realize that, you know, when he says that I am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, you know, I will never change, okay? When he reminds us of these things that we hear about through Scripture, we realize that, okay, there is something to this. This God that we pray to today, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, or God the Father, they're all the same, okay? It's the same God that David spoke to, the same God that Abraham and Moses listened to, the same God that was a fire during at night, a pillar of fire, and then a plume of smoke that led the Israelites through the desert, okay?
Yes.
Trying to get them to believe in him and to trust in him.
Well, and even Jesus would read from the Holy Scriptures in the synagogues about himself.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, even as you go to Acts, this is where Paul and Silas are in Berea, I think it's pronounced, and they're talking to the Jews in the synagogue, and it says here, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
Yes.
So they, same as the encouragements we get to check the word. You know, I've had preachers say, "Hey, don't always just take every word. Go to the word and check it to make sure that you're receiving the same message I'm preaching." Right. Always thought that was really great advice to use it to check.
Right.
But I thought, here's the guys even in Acts, and they're eagerly looking at the Scriptures to verify truth.
Yes.
Because here's Paul and they're telling him about the Christ who's come and gone.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Well, the simple fact is that so often we're reminded about trusting in God, being the good shepherd, okay? Being the one that will leave the 99 and go look for the one that is lost, okay? Knowing that the 99 are going to be safe, but I'm going to go look for the one that is lost. Then he reminds us in the book of Matthew displays or has us read, okay, Jesus says that, you know, my sheep will know my voice, okay? Uses the analogy of a shepherd once again, you know, that they'll follow me. And they will not follow those that you hire to take care of the sheep because they don't know them, okay?
Yeah.
But they will follow the voice of the shepherd, okay? And how do you get to know that? Well, the more familiar you are with who he is and how he talks and what he sounds like and is he consistent in his decision making and what he, you know, what he has us do, what his will is. You know, is it across the board? Yes. And that's what becomes enlightening. That's what stirs us up. That's what gives us opportunity to be able to share with others. When others ask us, so why do you believe the way that you believe? You know, we're called to give an answer in that case, to be able to let others know, you know, what has happened to us, how we came about this relationship with Jesus Christ.
And the hope we have in that.
Yes.
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 I agree. You know, and there's been many times that I've had conversations that challenged my faith about the mythical posture that some have about Scripture. The stories, even in 2 Peter, they're talking about, he says, for we did not follow clearly devised myths when we made known to you the power of Jesus Christ. They were using God's word as written word to back up what it was they were saying.
Yes.
And and to point out that they had to state to them, you're not following this cleverly devised myth. That would be from Satan.
Yeah.
That would be the one that you and I know when we're reading God's word. Really, if it's meant to bring us to a more joyful place or not.
Right.
And I've never read the word where after I was done reading it, where I felt like it told me to do something that would be against my heart.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Well, so often we sit here and truly, it's like wanting to trust somebody. If you were in line at the grocery store, at the post office, or whatever, and you wouldn't necessarily ask the guy who's in line in front of you or behind you and say, "Hey, could I trust you to show me how to do my bank account, how to be able to handle my money and everything?" Well, you don't know the guy.
No.
So you would not go there or do that sort of thing. You go where you believe that somebody is trustworthy, okay, that you know from either experience or from what others have said about this individual. That's usually what's going to lead you into seeking someone to assist you in a specific area. So in this area of life, when it comes to this sort of thing, that's why I believe that so often it's not so often, all the time, it's important that we trust in our fellowship with others, whether we go to church or whether we attend small groups or Bible studies or ministries that we attend to, that we are in fellowship with like-minded believers, other
Amen.
Men, okay? Because that way there, we actually get opportunities to be able to not only hear how God is faithful in their lives, but we get opportunity to be able to share our own experiences of maybe where we have been at one time and what has happened as a result of seeking God, okay?
Was that scriptures at Hebrews 11, 1 about, therefore there's such a great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah, it's about faith, that whole chapter.
That is, yeah. And it directs you to the place that it dawns on you that the written word is that. It's and I remember describing to a buddy one day, I said, so a flying saucer lands in my horse field next to the house. And Gary's like, okay. And I said, now you and I see it. We see it land. We see a couple of green men come out. They make some declaration of peace, and they fly away. Now, you and I want others to know about it. It's significant. They plan on returning, let's say, to bring us goodwill or what have you. So we want everybody to know, how do you make sure that they know that was seen, except to document, write it down, mm-hmm. testify mm-hmm. about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told Gary, he says, so we accurately record that, and it's 2,000 years later, and somebody's questioning it. Is there any other way that you could have documented or written it down? He says, no. He says, it comes down to the faith of the belief. Is it realistic? Is it possible? Could it have happened? Mm-hmm. And how many people saw it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we do depend on witnesses.
Yes, and not just that. Sometimes even when we do see something, we have a tendency of forgetting about it at other parts of our life, other times in
our
life.
Oh, yes.
I mean, how often, and we share it, with men, you hear it from men, where all of a sudden they've forgotten, in a sense, because life has a tendency of getting us so busy, we have forgotten what it was like when we first accepted and desired Jesus to be not only our Savior, we were looking for a Savior, but our Lord,
yes.
the manager of our lives. And as a result of that, we sometimes forget that we go back to when we get into a storm, the world just brings a lot of storms into our lives, you know. I had a pastor here one time, I've heard it over and over again. He says, if you're not leaving a storm, you're in the midst of going into another storm.
Yeah.
So it's continual. There's always something that's going to be taking place. There may be a little quiet time in between, but the fact is that the Lord is always there with you. And see, these are the things that we don't just say because that's what we'd like to hear. That's what the Word of God says.
Okay? Yes.
And that's what we believe in, okay? And when we hear that from others, we all of a sudden are encouraged as a result of it. You know?
That's if we have enough faith to believe that it's true.
Yes.
I remember listening to a speaker called Del Tackett that he would refer to inconsistencies in Scripture as going into his cocoon.
Mm.
Because he was such an analytical man and he had so much trust in the Bible, he would stick with it. And he showed some very complicated ways to verify that I won't even go. But what it concluded was, and what I thought was, he's not the first guy to go through rigorous, attempts and spent hours and hours either verifying the authenticity of the Bible, the origination of that writing, or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. There's tons and tons of stuff on that. Now, I didn't know that when I first started reading the Bible. That's why it was easy for me to go, okay, so 66 books written over, what, 1,500 years? And how many people have translated it? And blah, 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 blah. Man, that kept me from being into the Word for years.
Sure. But then when you sit there and you realize that all of a sudden the things that were shared in the book of Isaiah, which happens to be one of the books that Jesus spoke about often when he was on this earth in his ministry, okay, that when he starts to talk about the coming of the Lord, okay, himself, in a sense, of what's going to be taking place, and he says, I am he, you know, then all of a sudden you start saying, how does that happen? You know, when you've got 800 years that take place in between, and all of a sudden this guy says something, and then all of a sudden Jesus is here saying, this is what he's, you know, then it comes true, because this is what was written, okay? Now, you know, that's why you have apologetics. There are many critics out there. Somebody is trying to find a reason to not believe. Well, what are you looking for a reason not to believe for? So that you can say that, okay, you know, you can convince somebody that there's something else or nothing else, and that they should just enjoy their lives and shoot them up, so to speak. And, you know, so what is the purpose in this? Well, I believe that so much of it comes as a result of the fallen world, you know. The enemy will come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not just talking about, he's talking about what the enemy being Satan.
Yes.
But Satan infiltrates the minds and hearts of so many other people. The false prophets, the Pharisees, those who don't believe, those who want to find that there's something wrong, that the Bible actually contradicts each other in certain areas, you know. Why does one gospel say this and the other gospel doesn't even mention it? Why does one say that this is what's to take place, but all of a sudden, wait, that doesn't apply in the other book? You've got to remember, these are 66 individual books written at different times by different authors.
Well, different viewpoints.
And they're written to certain individuals. Some were believers, some were not believers. Some were certain areas of the geographically of the area, mm-hmm. and where others were not. They, you know, some were to specific churches and not other churches. But the point being is that it's all about Jesus.
Yes,
this whole thing is all about Jesus. All of them. Okay?
Yes,
and then
we've got the guys like the Lee Strobels. That were challenged with proving the existence or non-existence of Jesus Christ and his deity.
Sure.
And after years of research, publishing the books that verify that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched a movie recently, God's Not Dead 2.
Mm-hmm.
And in there they had this guy that was a forensic scientist.
Yep.
And he explained how he concluded truth from the scriptures, mm-hmm. and the example of one guy writing about one thing and the other one, the same thing happened, but one of the writers may have mentioned one little tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy says he can derive truth from historical writings like that even long after people have passed away. He right. says sometimes there's more clues there than if they were alive.
Yes.
I had no idea that kind of forensic mm-hmm. Science was available, or that there was people that could verify even that way the word.
Yes, yes. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's continue on this, you know, this venture. We're kind of stirring things up here to whether or not we should trust the Word of God. And what does it require on our part, you know? And how much should we actually look into whether this is truth or not? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
You're busy and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Canes, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
You wrote your name upon my heart. You knew me long before my life began. You still have a plan. And when I'm starting to forget, Jesus, you tell me who.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Duke and Raul in the studio talking about the Word of God and trusting in His Word. And we're just stirring this whole thing up a little bit. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 51, in this case here, I believe it's verse 6, it says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed." So here is God speaking through Isaiah, letting us know, letting you and I know that, hey, look to the heavens. All these things are going to go away. Everything around you is going to go away. He said, but there is something that will not ever go away, okay? That His salvation, okay, His salvation for us will always go on and on and on, okay? That means our relationship with Him will go on and on and on for eternity. And His righteousness will never be dismayed. It's not going to be, you know, it won't be questioned because it is truth, okay? For that's who He is. Now, so often, once again, it's about His faithfulness. When you read this in Isaiah, okay, and then you go to hearing and seeing what Jesus is doing when He comes to this earth, okay, through the Gospels, okay, at the age of 30 and begins His three-year ministry, okay, in a short period of time, He's affected a lot of people because of the word that was shared with people before.
He fulfilled.
Absolutely. The prophecy, I mean, that's what prophecy is. You have the Old Testament that says this is what's going to take place, and the New Testament says here it is, and this is what happened. Here's the proof.
Well, isn't that the part of the curiosity that is for me to gain traction and faith in the Bible? I for so many years, Raul, and I got to believe there's listeners out there, that I didn't understand the whole story. I remember a senior pastor of sorts sitting me down and saying, okay, he look at it as a historical record and the start to finish. I didn't get the Old Testament and the fact that God would allow, you know, His armies to go in and pillage and plunder and kill women and children and, you know, and all that. And then the New Testament was this completely different turn the other cheek, you know, humility, no, don't get out your sword and kill anybody kind of stuff. It was very, very confusing. And I think I didn't get clarity until somebody really convinced me to start getting into a kind of a Bible study.
And that's really what it comes down to, is that the only way of being able to do this, I mean, do I really want to lean on the fact that I don't believe the Word of God? Because this is, you know, if you don't believe one part, you might as well not believe the whole thing. You can't sit here and take pick and choose. You either believe or you don't, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll, and yeah, I've heard that before. You can't say this part, I believe this part. You know, whether or not the Bible is true sometimes is a separate question for whether or not a particular passage is literal. We would go sometimes to that, I'm looking for an answer that day.
Yeah, but see, we can't, we, here's the thing is that so often we want answers on certain things, but we want them right now. We don't want to have to go through the work of, we want somebody else to go through the work and then tell us, and then that guy, oh, that I'm convinced. Well, the Bible talks about that. Talks about a man in the book of James being wishy-washy, right? Of just as the waves toss you, you know, to and fro, you know. But you make a decision. Somewhere along the line, you've got to make a decision, you know. We are his word, I believe, that we are created, okay, in God's spirit, okay, given a body. You know, Adam and Eve had the opportunity. They were putting on heaven on earth in Eden. And they messed up. I mean, they messed up. Eden was going to grow over the earth. That's what was, I believe, God's plan was for this to continue to grow for more, because they were going to multiply. Okay?
Yes.
But obviously that didn't take place. There was a fall that took place. There was sin that was committed. And not trusted in God. When the serpent said, hey, just... do you really believe that God meant this? How often do we hear that sort of thing?
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
In our own heads. The same type of questions that come in are the same ones that Adam and Eve heard. Okay? And then all of a sudden we just sit there and just go, okay, so why? Well, because of our humanness. Because of the fact that we have, we so desire to be something that we're not in some cases. Okay?
Amen. It sometimes is quite a slippery slope. What I do know is that when I first accepted Jesus Christ, I will say, Raul, it wasn't based on a confirmation of truth of the written word.
Yes.
God allows us to make that faith leap, I guess. That is through the testimony of others, their examples, and their leading. And their renewing of my mind is what led me to have a heartfelt desire to have what they had, to desire to have that knowledge.
Yes.
But I will tell you that was one of the things that I didn't get good caution on that our listeners might want to, and that is that the next step for me was to understand God's written story and his written word, because the idea of this invisible faith... that would, the giddy, he's going to deliver happiness to me.
But faith is invisible.
It is, but I'm going to say almost a giddy faith. That is, that without confirmation of the word, it was easy when a storm came for that faith to be challenged. It was only when I got into the word that I understood why that challenge was there and what I was to do about it. Mm-hmm. Previous to that, I didn't understand the word because... nobody explained it to me. You know, go to a Bible study and you don't understand what something in the Old Testament is, and we're too prideful sometimes to speak up.
Well, but the fact is that sometimes we just, even if we were to see something, a miracle take place, does not mean that all of a sudden we're going to go ahead and continue believing that sort of thing. We may say, oh, that miracle applied in their life, but I don't know if that will apply for me. And the reason being is because we don't understand the character of God, to understand why certain things take place in some people's lives and why it doesn't in others. There's not an answer to everything. There are many mysteries that we're not going to know about until we're with him. So, again, I would rather lean on the fact that I'd rather believe today rather than my life end and then find out that I missed it, you know. I mean, you know, what? But that I don't want to be going in there just... like I'm gambling or something. Just you know, a roll of the dice. Yeah, hey, I could end up being in a good place. Maybe not. You know, whatever that might be.
Yes.
Look at all that I could end up. But see, in our flesh, okay, we desire comfort. We desire ease. We want things to be kind of smooth. We don't mind maybe do a little bit of work, but do I have to continue working that hard at it? Can I just, you know, can I be able to receive something without having to, you know, and that's part of our nature. I mean, who doesn't feel at some time or another that, hey, I deserve this for all the efforts I put in? Okay. We look at it as a retirement sometimes. Hey, you're going to retire. You're going to get a pension if you put so many years in with the company. Okay. And then, but is that really the fulfillment of life that all of a sudden now I can sit back and just find a recliner or a beach and just do what, just relax?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
You know?
That's what we desire, though,
but
isn't
that's,
it?
Yeah. You know, a big part of what, I mean, it's just the meaning behind it of what actually takes place in our lives. When actually what this does for us is that we came to Jesus because there was a part of our lives that was not working very well. We were in pain. We were in peril. We were in darkness.
Amen.
We were lost. We didn't know what direction to go. And the people that were supposedly helping us, helping me, I should say, they weren't necessarily any better than I was in my thinking. Okay? And so somewhere along the line, I heard something. And it got my attention. It got my curiosity up. And it had to do with the relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, that all of my old thinking and all of my old behavior is, you know, that's just false in a sense. Okay, now, it doesn't mean I regret any of that because honestly, I think everything that I've done in my life, everything that has, every decision I've made, they may not have, none of them were all that great, but all the ones that I have made in the past have caused me to be in the place where I'm at today.
Yes.
Okay, and so they were necessary. For me, you know, I don't know how many times you got to get hit up on the side of the head by a 2x4. For me, it took quite a few times.
Yes.
Okay. Some people get the very first hit. Say, okay, I get it. You know, and for me, it didn't. I tested everything. Okay. And because I still wanted that thing that's part of the human nature is control. I wanted to have it the way that I believe I deserve it, you know, because of who I am. And who are you? I don't know. I thought I was something. You know, but obviously the world didn't think that, you know.
Yes. That's like reading those parts of the word that that you like. The
yes.
The ones that where all the promises are there and there's nobody to challenge that. You know, that's part of the other side of the word that – but I'll tell you, too, that my faith got strengthened by being into the word. And as you said, it was a journey. It took time. Little by little, and not even asking direct questions, but just being into the Word, listening to the Word, even at in a Sunday sermon, there my answers came little by little that built up my faith. So when somebody asks me, how come you have such strong faith? I got to tell them, because I believe. Well, why do you believe? I because I believe what's written. It continues to prove itself out.
Yes, yes. In the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, I love the beginning of all of that because it just reminds us of the Lord, what that was all about. But in verse 9, it starts out here, it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." He's talking about Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." Okay? I mean, he walked around. Nobody recognized him. Nobody knew him or... You know, they weren't nothing anyway. "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him."
Yes.
"But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, see, Jesus was put on this earth so that we would come to understand. See, if we were to see, I think if we just had God alone, we would all think that we can't we can't be like him. You know, God says that we are to be holy as he is holy. Now, he's trying to remind us how Jesus was. Jesus was a man. He was born as a child to become a man, just like we have all went through our birth, okay, on this earth, okay?
Yes.
So that, and he actually dealt with the same things that you and I dealt with. Jesus was, he grew up just like we grew up. He had parents that took care of him. He didn't listen to him all the time. Remember, they all went into town. He was 11 or 12 years old, and he was in preaching in the synagogues. And as the caravan was heading back to Bethlehem, he wasn't with them.
Yeah, the folks
but,
like
but the folks that he thought he was with his cousins and all the other, you know, because they're all in the group. But he was back there.
Yeah.
So he was like us. As he got older, he ends up, he gets to this place where he's actually, you know, going through a temptation with the enemy, with the Satan, okay? And what takes place? We all get those same temptations, right? Jesus experienced the same temptations that all of us have fallen in, okay?
Yes.
The difference being, he never sinned. Hmm. He never sinned, okay? He was a man, but he was also God, okay? But he wants us to be able to know that, hey, there is hope. And that hope is this relationship with him. And that's where he goes on and begins his first preaching, letting people know, repent of your sin, you know, and believe in me, okay? And so as a result of that, his first preaching was done, in, you know, with the Sermon on the Mount, you know?
Yes.
And we get into it. You want to know how to get to know Jesus more? Just start in the Gospels. Now, you can start in the Gospel of John or Matthew. All four of those Gospels are being written by someone that received it because they have a certain personality and certain characteristics of writing so that people would be able to understand, okay?
Yes.
So, but if you get into it, you just, all of a sudden, some things start to stir you up a little bit more, and then you start to desire, I want to know a little bit more why this is like this, and why is this not, you know, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. I'm just being given the signal that we're talking too much.
Okay.
We need to go to a commercial break.
Yes.
We'll come back in a minute. Let's finish up talking
Amen.
About a few more of these things.
Amen.
You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. That's a pretty good song. I like that. That's kind of jumpy and everything here. Okay. So, in the book of Hebrews, you had mentioned Hebrews before in chapter 11. That's the chapter on faith. Okay. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He reminds us in another part of the New Testament, he says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. That means that if I actually am trying to think of him more often, if I am acknowledging his presence in my life, okay, that he's going to be with me during all of that. Well, if God Almighty Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, if they are light, okay, the light of life, okay, and the enemy is darkness, and I don't want to be tempted as often, I don't want to have to fall into sin, I don't want the lures as often, the best way of being able to avoid that is to put more light into this room of my darkness.
Amen.
When I bring light into it, there's no darkness at all. Okay, there might be some shadows and so on, but the more light you put in it, the fewer, the less darkness there is. So the point being is that if I want, you know, more of my life, more light in my life, which is, I believe, and I've experienced, it's going to be joy, peace, some of these things that I know, it doesn't mean that my life is all of a sudden going to be smooth. There are always going to be challenges in this world where we live in a fallen world. But the hope is that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that he gives me the hope that I can give not only to others, but to let them know that, hey, this is what is going on in my life, but this is how God has been faithful in my life.
Amen.
I can wake up and know that he is there no matter what takes place. And there are people that I can gather with, like-minded people, like-minded men, either in church or in ministry or in relationship, one-on-one, whatever that might be. But the fact is, I need to do these things. And those are the things that the world is trying to say that I don't need to go to. I don't need to be a part of.
Yes, those are the lies. And I'll tell you what, one encouragement we can give the brothers is the regularity of, even if we don't have a great understanding, the regularity of reading the Word or being in the Word on a regular basis. It doesn't matter what storm you're in, or even if you don't think you're in a storm, that regularity, that reminder of his promises and other stuff. One of the verses I carry in my wallet is 1 Peter 4:12, which says that we're don't be surprised that things are happening to you as though something strange. Yes. In other words, as you said earlier, the world will deliver what the world does, and the Scripture lets us know in advance it's going to happen.
Amen. Amen. We'll end with this one proverb here in Proverbs 19:21. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So, brother, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Get into his Word. If you don't have a study Bible, get a study Bible. Use the cross references and read the commentaries and do it with another man, at least one other man. You'd be surprised at what God wants to reveal to you. Would you pray for our brothers?
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that those men that are listening today and those that are not, that they would be into your Word, to read your Word, and to question and press into it so that you may be revealed to them in the way that they can receive it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.